from the nation's capital. If it happens in America or anywhere in the world, you'll hear about it first here, right here. Now, your anchors, Chris Salcedo and Lori London.
America's Radio News Network.
6 minutes past the top of the hour. Get ready to get informed. You're in the right place. America's Radio News. Nice to have you along. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. On this Thursday, January 27th, here's what's happening.
We can reduce our corporate tax rate, but we cannot do that unless we raise the money.
The congressman censured for financial misconduct is giving advice to America on how to get our fiscal house in order.
We have noticed daily improvements in our neurological condition. And in terms of recovery for brain issues, this is really at lightning speed.
Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords continues her fighting spirit as she shows amazing improvement.
You're going to find out that the president violated one of his main principles when he ran for office.
And Senator Grassley questions why so many of President Obama's supporters are getting waivers from Obamacare.
We're sweeping the globe and the nation to bring you all the latest news.
Coming to you live from the nation's capital, where we are digging out from under some snow. Not as bad as it is up in New York, though, Lori London.
Yes, they had about a foot here. I'd say we probably had about a half a foot. Mm-hmm. Well, a car bomb ripped through a funeral tent in a mainly Shiite area of Baghdad today, the deadliest in a series of attacks that killed at least 48 people. The blasts were the latest in more than a week of bombings that have killed over 200 people, raising concerns about an uptick in violence as the U.S. military prepares to withdraw from the country.
Back here at home, Arizona expected to set off another seismic immigration wave today when both chambers of its legislature expect to hear the introduction of bills denying citizenship to U.S.-born babies of undocumented immigrants. Arizona's legislation would define a U.S. citizen as someone who has been naturalized or someone born in this country who has at least one parent who has no allegiance to a foreign country.
Well, as millions of baby boomers stand on the brink of retiring, new congressional projections show Social Security running deficits every year until its trust funds are eventually drained in 2037. This year alone, Social Security projected to collect $45 billion less in payroll taxes than it pays out in retirement, disability, and survivor benefits. This is according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
One state is another step closer toward voter ID, with a strong push from Republicans and over vigorous objections of Democrats. The Texas Senate approved legislation requiring all but elderly Texans to show a photo ID before voting. Most of the proposed amendments to the bill offered by Democrats were rejected during several hours of debate on Wednesday, but one change found bipartisan support. That added a state-concealed handgun license to the list of photo IDs that would meet the requirement for that legislation.
Well, as we mentioned, from D.C. to New England, the East Coast digs out again from yet another monster snowstorm. It closed schools, grounded thousands of flights, and knocked out power to hundreds of thousands. Wow. Some areas measuring not in inches, but feet. And actually, Chris, some areas have depleted their snow budgets.
My goodness. So
already.
Heading to the cable news networks over at CNN, Mr. Bill Maher was complaining during this week's State of the Union about CNN's decision to air Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's response to President Obama's State of the Union. Check out what happened when Wolf Blitzer made a complete fool of Mr. Maher.
I don't understand the decision by CNN to air it. Why are you giving why are you giving airtime to basically two Republican responses? I mean, the Tea Party is the Republican Party. It's just a rebranding. The Republican Party realized a couple of years ago they were very unpopular with the American public, possibly because all of their ideas had been miserable failures over the last 10, 20, 30 years. So they rebranded as the Tea Party. Why don't you give equal time to the Democratic response and then have Representative Anthony Weiner, who's from the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party? Why doesn't he get some
airtime? Well, I'm sure he'll get plenty of opportunities. We'd love to have him here in the Situation Room. He could respond. I will point out the president will speak probably for an hour. Paul Ryan will speak maybe for 10 or 15 minutes, and Michelle Bachmann's speech will be very short. So in terms of the amount of time that the response will be, it's nothing compared to what the President of the United States would deliver in making his message, as it should be, since he is, after all, the President of the United States, and this is the State of the Union address, although we will be getting some responses.
Yeah, so I think Mr. Maher, the guy that called Americans stupid, maybe needs some remedial math skills, because last time I checked, 60 minutes of a presidential address is not equal. Actually, it's much more than 20 minutes of a response. And what is he advocating? A response to the response? I don't understand.
I say good for Wolf, you know.
Yeah,
I,
no
they
kidding.
Have a right to air that. People want to hear what people have to say. And yes, the president was on for an hour. You don't normally get a Democratic response to a Democratic president.
Yeah, and it sounded like Bill Maher was actually advocating the censorship of Ms. Michelle Bachmann, which is, you know, totally contradictory to what this guy says he stands for.
Well, Chris, remember the woman who said she dabbled in witchcraft?
Yes.
Former Delaware Tea Party Senate candidate Christine O'Donnell says there was something missing from the State of the Union address this year, and it probably had something to do with the seating arrangements.
I like when the Democrats sit on one side and the Republicans sit on another. And, you know, it's supposed to be civil debate. You know, we're not all supposed to braid each other's hair and sing kumbaya. You know, not in Congress. Let's have healthy debate and solve the country's problems. And I think something was missing with that whole prom date.
Missing? Something's missing.
Dismissing President Obama's opposition to earmarks as an applause line, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told NBC News that the president should back off and let lawmakers continue to direct spending to their home districts in the form of earmarks.
Is the president wrong when it comes to earmarks?
Of course. This is an applause line. It's an effort of the White House to get more power. They've got enough power as it is. I have a constitutional obligation to do congressionally directed spending. I know much more what needs to be done in Elko, Nevada, Hawthorne, Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, than some bureaucrat does back here. But the president thinks this will help him a little bit. And, you know, more power to him. It's just wrong.
There are people who think that some of the projects that fall under earmarks are worthwhile, but the country doesn't have the money. Isn't this one area to pursue?
The money's going to be spent anyway. The difference is the White House is going to be directing where it's spent, not us. That's our obligation. It does not save any money.
If the public is feeling that earmarks are somehow a sign of government wastefulness, shouldn't you respond to that?
I have. No, I have responded to it, saying that I think it's absolutely wrong, and the American public should understand, and I surely will as time goes by, that the president has enough power. He should just back off. He's got enough to do without messing in what we do.
Wow. What? And the president was a senator at one time.
Singling out his own party, though, and his own president.
No kidding. Harry Reid and Barack Obama going head-to-head. That's just odd. Coming up on America's Radio News, we're going to talk to Steve Navarre. He's the president of the Conservative Hispanic Society. Get his take on this attempt in Arizona to restrict birthright citizenship.
And an uprising in U.S. ally Egypt spreads to Yemen. Could this whole thing bring more instability to the volatile Middle East?
And President Obama is being accused of plagiarism in the State of the Union address. We'll tell you who's making the accusation. Coming up next on America's Radio News, this is where the nation's news break.
Sometimes the news we break is a little bit shocking. That's why we make sure we always get it right the first time. This is America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
Fast, reliable, and always informative. This is America's Radio News.
You can read about it tomorrow, or you can hear about it now, right here on America's Radio News. So glad you're with us. I'm Chris Salcedo.
I'm Lori London. Thank you so much for being with us on this Thursday, January 27th. Well, a book celebrating suicide bombers has been found in the Arizona desert just north of the U.S.-Mexico border. The book, In Memory of Our Martyrs, spotted Tuesday by a U.S. Border Patrol agent out of the Casa Grande substation. He was patrolling a route known for smuggling illegal immigrants and drugs.
Lori, two articles out here just recently in the last couple of hours, one from U.S. News and World Report, another one from the Washington Examiner, alleging that President Obama plagiarized parts of his State of the Union speech. I'll read from the Washington Examiner here. A number of passages coming out of the presidential mouth struck a few listeners as sounding vaguely familiar. Talking of the need for improved education, Mr. Obama in one prominent line said, quote, "We are the first nation to be founded for the sake of an idea," end quote. Turns out, someone else said those same memorable words about the time Mr. Obama was editing the Law Review. The United States, that previous politician told an American audience, is the, quote, "first nation to have been founded on an idea," end quote. But what U.S. Democrat would want to be quoted, be quoting, Britain's conservative Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher on national television.
Well, Chris, he's taking a serious tone. John Stewart joining the board of the foundation building the September 11th Memorial in New York. The comedian and activist was appointed to the National September 11th Memorial and Museum Board today. The host of the Emmy-winning Daily Show on Comedy Central recently used his show to champion a federal bill that provided billions to treat people who became ill after working in the ruins of the World Trade Center.
Here is the headline. Bills denying birthright citizenship to be introduced in Arizona today. We're going to the newsmaker line. Steve Navarre standing by. He is the president of the Conservative Hispanic Society. Want to get his reaction. Steve, welcome to America's Radio News.
Welcome.
Thank you both for having me on today.
Okay, give me your impression of this. These are two bills being introduced in both houses of the Arizona legislature today to basically limit birthright citizenship to those children born to undocumented immigrants. What say you?
Well, I think, honestly, it's a political stunt. Regardless of how you feel about immigration, for or against illegal immigration, and definitely Conservative Hispanic Society is against illegal immigration, Constitution is very clear, and there is a process of changing that Constitution if it seems to be unclear and it's not at a state level.
So what would you say to the frustration of those around the country they see the abuse of the 14th Amendment? They see it as an abuse.
Well, I understand they see it as an abuse, but once again, the process is very clear on how to amend the Constitution. If the 14th Amendment is not clear on who should have citizenship, and I think it is pretty clear, Supreme Court cases have ruled in the past,
right.
Native Americans, the 14th Amendment applied to Chinese immigrants that were here on visas. Even Michelle Malkin's parents, she is the daughter of two immigrants. She was legally allowed to have citizenship. The courts have been very clear about that. I don't think it's going to change, and if it should change, it should be done through the legal process of changing the Constitution, started in Congress, and then passed out to the states to ratify, not through a state legislative bill.
Well, Steve, here's the problem, and I think this is some of what Lori was alluding to here. We all know the 14th Amendment was created to acknowledge the birth of children from freed slaves here in the United States. It was never intended to give citizenship rights to those that break our laws to enter the United States. That's number one. And a sitting congressman right now is testament to what I think a lot of conservatives in this country would like to see happen. His name is Brian Bilbray from San Diego. And what he had a mom that was an Australian citizen. She had him here on U.S. soil. He became a U.S. citizen. What did she do when her visa expired? She took her son, she went back to Australia, and then utilized his citizenship to ultimately get back here, and now he's a sitting U.S. congressman. What is wrong with Americans insisting at least on that?
Well, I don't think that you've said anything incorrect. If you're here illegally and you're deported and your children are U.S. citizens, you should take your children with you. I don't think there's anybody would argue about that, except for maybe some far left extremists. But the truth is that's not what the discussion is about. The discussion is about the Constitution and whether the states have the right to interpret the Constitution through their own legislative branch, and they don't, and they never will. Nor do they with Second Amendment rights or First Amendment rights. Those are protections that are put on the people here through the Constitution at a federal level, and if we want to make those changes, we really need to do it through the constitutional process.
His name is Steve Navarre. He is with the Conservative Hispanic Society. Look him up on the web. They have all kinds of interesting perspectives on what's happening with our immigration issues. Mr. Navarre, thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up here in the next segment, we're going to be talking about, well, how does a socialist dictator solve his nation's homeless problems? We'll tell you.
And some of us may have a real reason to wonder if we'll ever see a dime of our Social Security.
And Andrew Clavin, he's the author of Identity Man. We're talking with him about the fallout from the State of the Union address. It's all coming your way on America's Radio News. This is where the nation's news breaks.
The campaign for 2012 has already started, and we're right in the middle of it. Keep it set right here to America's Radio News. If it breaks in this town, we dig deep till we know the truth. This is America's Radio News.
34 minutes past the top of the hour. This is where America's news breaks. We call this show America's Radio News. I'm Chris Salcedo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lori London. Great to have you with us on this Thursday, January 27th. Here's what's happening.
We can reduce our corporate tax rate, but we cannot do that unless we raise the money.
The congressman censured for financial misconduct is giving advice to America on how to get our fiscal house in order.
We have noticed daily improvements in our neurological condition. And in terms of recovery for brain issues, this is really at lightning speed.
Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords continues her fighting spirit as she shows amazing improvement.
You're going to find out that the president violated one of his main principles when he ran for office.
And Senator Grassley questions why so many of President Obama's supporters are getting waivers from Obamacare.
We're sweeping the globe and the nation to bring you all the latest news.
It is gridlock here in Washington, D.C., and for once, we're not talking about the U.S. Capitol. We're talking about the weather that walloped us last night.
The white stuff.
My goodness.
Well, great to be with you, Chris Salcedo, and all of you. Nobel Peace Laureate Mohamed El-Baradei, Egypt's top democracy advocate and a key challenger to President Hosni Mubarak, has returned to the country after declaring he was ready to lead the grassroots protest movement to a regime change. Social networking sites are abuzz with talk that the rallies could be some of the biggest so far, calling for the ouster of Mubarak after 30 years in power.
Republican lawmakers in nearly a dozen states, they are reaching into the dusty annals of American history to fight President Obama's health care overhaul. They are introducing measures that hinge on nullification, Thomas Jefferson's late 18th century doctrine that purported to give states the ultimate say in constitutional matters. GOP lawmakers introduced such a measure Wednesday in the Idaho House, and Alabama, Kansas, Maine, Missouri, Montana, Oregon, Nebraska, Texas, and Wyoming are also talking about the same idea, though legal scholars say nullification is unconstitutional.
While the foreclosure crisis getting worse in an increasing number of U.S. metropolitan areas in dire financial straits, Seattle, Houston, and Chicago, cities that were relatively insulated from foreclosures early on in the housing bust, now seeing a growing number of homeowners falling behind on mortgage payments and on the receiving end of foreclosure warnings.
So how does a socialist dictator solve his nation's homeless problem? Well, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez has sent out troops to take over farms and urge the poor to occupy, quote, unused land in wealthy areas of Caracas, promoting a wave of squats that is rattling Venezuela's middle class. The move by Venezuela's president to step up the campaign to, quote, recover land and other property follows a housing crisis that left millions of people in shabby conditions and affected his popularity in the run-up to next year's elections.
Well, it looks like John Travolta is going to play the ultimate tough guy in an upcoming film. He's reportedly signed on to play legendary mobster John Gotti in the upcoming biopic on his life. James Franco reportedly to be under consideration to play the late mob boss's son, The film will be reported to be about focusing on the Gambino crime family in New York City.
Let's turn now to Andrew Klavan. He's the author of Identity Man, also a contributing editor to City Journal, published by the Manhattan Institute. Andrew, welcome to America's Radio News.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here.
Wanted to run something by you. The response to the president's State of the Union address from Republicans, they weren't too happy at all about what they heard. Have a listen to Congressman Anthony Weiner. He's a Democrat. He says that the Republican Congressman Paul Ryan's response to this week's State of the Union address was a bummer.
Look at the contrast. The president with this uplifting, unifying speech, really after a campaign where he was pummeled in every corner in the most partisan, visceral ways, he still took the podium, lifted up our country, and rallied us together. He was then followed by a guy who just was bumming us all out. I mean, I felt like I just needed a drink when I was done with Paul Ryan. And then Michelle Bachmann, who is clearly not in touch with the mothership.
So bumming us all out, according to Anthony Weiner. So I guess he wasn't too appreciative of Mr. Ryan's tough talk.
I guess not. But I mean, what he likes is the gibberish that was coming out of the State of the Union. Obama stole a couple of Reagan-esque lines to introduce his speech, but he rapidly devolved into the usual, taking freedoms away from the people in order to have the government run things as it's done so well up till now. He calls this a Sputnik moment, and of course we all remember that Sputnik was a moment of absolute panic and disaster for this country. It was the moment when we realized that we had fallen woefully behind the Soviet Union in technology, or we seemed to have anyway. And he was using it as a way of saying, well, now that we've fallen so far behind, we have to gear up and move forward. But what did he then suggest? You know, he was going to pave highways and get some solar panels up. And, you know, it's very exciting stuff that, you know, is not really going to do anything to create jobs. I found the president's speech very dispiriting. I mean, I have no talent for despair, so I don't really despair.
But I certainly
felt it was a dispiriting speech because it just showed that he didn't get it. He hadn't heard the electorate, and he didn't really know what was going on.
And it wasn't one of his best either, Andrew. I mean, we heard some of the pundits afterwards, even some Democrats, that said it was kind of flat. Did it strike you that way?
Yes, it did. But, I kind of cut him some slack for that. The State of the Union is normally a laundry list of programs that the president wants to accomplish. The problem with Obama that really does bother me is he will say anything, but he continually does the same thing. You know, he will say, America has to compete. He will say, business is going to create new jobs. But again and again, he sucks the air out of the room in terms of money, and he sucks it out of business, and he puts it in the government where it can't create anything. So it wasn't the flatness of the speech. I'll let that go. States of the Union are never all that inspiring. It was the kind of roaming, rambling, I'll say anything to appear to be bipartisan, but basically spending more money even though we've spent ourselves into the hole. That's what really bothered me about it.
All right, let's get off the bummer topic and talk a little bit about something lighthearted. I know you're a movie guy. The Academy Award nominations, what did you think of the nominations, and do you have any predictions?
Well, yeah, I can predict almost all of them, and I'm sure I'll get most of them right this year because it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Let me talk about it. There are two things that are really interesting about this. One is, as you know, last year they expanded the nominations from 5 to 10. And as a result, you wouldn't think it was possible to make the Oscars any more boring, but they actually have, because if you nominate 10 pictures, you can't leave anything out. So there's nowhere we can turn and say, gee, they made a terrible mistake. Basically, there were about 10 good pictures, and they all got nominated. What's really been interesting is the kind of muted complaints that there are no minorities nominated. And while it doesn't bother me at all that there are no minorities nominated, what bothers me is that the reason no minorities were nominated is there were no important minority roles. There were no films that dealt with minority life. There were no actors who had a chance to shine and really be, you know, show how great they could be. Denzel Washington made a wonderful picture called The Book of Eli last year, which was completely snubbed. But it was a science fiction picture, not the usual Oscar thing.
Yeah.
But it was really amazing for this liberal town. It's really the whitest business in America.
So give us your predictions.
Sorry?
Give us your predictions. Who's going to win?
Oh, all right. Best Picture is almost certainly going to be the King's Speech, though it should be Toy Story 3, which is the best picture in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
The best director, probably Fincher for The Social Network. He's never won. Natalie Portman is a shoo-in for Best Actress. The Best Actor, Colin Firth. That'll be Colin Firth, no question. It should be Melissa Leo for Best Supporting Actress. She's a wonderful actress who got nominated once before and didn't win for Frozen River. She should win. If Christian Bale doesn't win for The Fighter, that'll just be a crime. That was
an
incredible performance.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you every one of those is right.
All right, very good.
And you're not modest about it.
No. And you know what, Andrew Klavan, we're going to have you back on to see how right you were.
Absolutely.
He's the author of Identity Man, also a contributing editor to City Journal, published by the Manhattan Institute. Andrew Klavan, thanks a lot for being on America's Radio News.
Great pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right, coming up, it seems with Steve Carell stepping out of NBC's office, they're bringing in another high-profile comedian. We'll tell you who.
And Justin Bieber and Ozzy Osbourne teaming up. We'll tell you what that's about.
And breast implants, they raise the risk of a dangerous disease. We'll tell you about the study that's finding this out. It's America's Radio News. This is where America's News breaks.
Broadcasting from the nation's capital, where we catch the news before it gets away. This is America's Radio News.
For more information, go to AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com. That's AmericasRadioNewsNetwork.com.
If we break the story, you know you've got the details right.
America's Radio News Network.
Hear about it now, read about it tomorrow. This is America's Radio News. Happy you are there. I'm Chris Salcedo.
And I'm Lori London. Thank you so much for being with us on this Thursday, January 27th. Well, the color-coded Homeland Security Advisory System about to be consigned to history. Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano expected to announce, or already has announced, the almost 9-year-old threat system will go away in April. It'll be replaced by the new National Terror Advisory System that'll focus on specific threats in geographical areas.
Lori, I'm holding two pieces of paper in my hand, one from U.S. News and World Report, the other one from the Washington Examiner. Both are alleging that Mr. Obama's State of the Union address was plagiarized in some areas. I'll read from the Washington Examiner. A number of passages coming out of the presidential mouth struck a few listeners as sounding vaguely familiar. Talking of the need for improved education, Mr. Obama, in one prominent line, said, quote, "We are the first nation to be founded for the sake of an idea," end quote. Turns out someone else said those same memorable words about the time Mr. Obama was editing the Law Review. The United States, that previous politician told an American audience, is the, quote, "first nation to have been founded on an idea," end quote. But what U.S. Democrat would want to quote Britain's conservative Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher on national television?
Well, the jobs crisis not going anywhere, according to the latest forecast from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. They put the national unemployment rate above 9% through 2011 and 8% through 2012. The CBO estimates unemployment will fall to a more natural rate of about 5.3% only in 2016.
I don't know about you, but when I heard Steve Carell was leaving NBC's office, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. Well, producers, they have enlisted Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell to help boost the show's numbers during the season's home stretch. Ferrell will reunite with his Anchorman co-star in a 4-episode arc later in this season. He'll play a branch manager who arrives from the home office and proves to be just as inept as Michael Scott.
Well, we're told Charlie Sheen was taken out of his home on a stretcher and loaded into an ambulance about 7 a.m. this morning. Two young women exited the house at the same time. He was taken out with a towel partially over his face and transported to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A. Now, sources say he was having severe abdominal pains, which triggered the call. His publicist tells TMZ he was in the emergency room this morning, sleeping.
Okay. Back here in the nation's capital, Congressman Danny Davis, a Democrat from Illinois, provides further proof that the nonpartisan seating arrangement at the State of the Union address was an exercise in shallow imaging and was in no way an example of any kind of bipartisan cooperation. Otherwise, don't you think that Congressman Davis would have at least remembered his prom date's name?
Before we let you go here, just real quick, who'd you sit next to?
I sat next to Trent, Republican fellow from Arizona.
Sure, the guy that was pulling you down when you were trying to stand up and applaud the president, right? Over health care, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are a lot of members. Maybe he had a double date.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Well, the Oscar-nominated James Franco told Jon Stewart of The Daily Show that he celebrated his nomination this week by going to class at Yale.
I think the day you're nominated for an Oscar is the day you could call in and say, I'm not coming to class today.
No, they don't understand.
What was the class?
It was a class on Byron, Keats, and Shelley, the romantic poets. And
all three, I could see. If it was only one.
They don't understand it at Yale. They Oscar what? They don't. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to push it. I mean,
did they say anything like, Mr. Franco, by the way?
No. Well, nobody knew.
Well done, sir.
No, nobody knew. I got the announcement. I went on the Today Show. And then I walked down the street and went into class and straight by her. Nobody said a thing.
I didn't expect him to. And how often did you stand up
Jesse
during
Eisenberg.
Class
he was
do this? La, 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 la. Now, you were going to be going to the Oscars as a nominee, but also as the host.
Yes.
Which is very unusual.
Well, we chatted a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You and I.
So, yeah, maybe you can give me some advice.
I don't think that's
you have a different...
Let me tell you,
I found out that you have a kind of a different approach than I was planning on. You have the...
Let me tell you what they love.
Yeah. I think we differ in opinion on this, but it's all right.
Go at it with the attitude that you're above it all.
Yeah, they love that.
With an ironic detachment,
right.
Bordering on contempt.
Right.
They will eat it up.
and a little roasting.
You know what? And kudos to James Franco for going to class. That's the important stuff, buddy.
Exactly. Keeping the mind sharp.
Getting educated. That's right. MSNBC's Chris Matthews continued his Bash Bachman obsession yesterday as he continued to refer to the Congresswoman Michelle Bachman as a balloon head. But finally, one Tea Partier, a guy named Philip Dennis of the Texas Tea Party, called Mr. Matthews out on his, quote, harsh rhetoric.
I don't get it. I call her a balloon head for a reason. She has absolutely no grasp or knowledge of American history, and I mean it. She's proving it. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it sounds like extremely harsh political rhetoric in this era of now getting along. And first of all, if you remember
from
your history...
How would you characterize her knowledge of American history?
Well, I can tell you this. I remember from my history from North Carolina State is that Edward Rutledge, who was the governor of South Carolina, was against the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, which contained language that banned slavery. And he fought against Jefferson. He fought against Adams, as well as he fought against Benjamin Franklin. And he encouraged all of the southern states to vote against the Declaration. So those northern founding fathers acquiesced in for the better good of having the country, a free country, of the United States of America. So in a lot of ways, I think she misspoke, but she was technically in some way right. But, the founding fathers...
No, you're wrong, Phil. She did not eradicate... The founding fathers did not eradicate slavery. If you believe that, say it again.
No, I don't believe that's true. We know that slavery was not eradicated until after the Civil War, but we do know that
Sir, why do you cover for this ignorance?
Here is a man that is bashing a woman, calling her a balloon head, a very disparaging name. I have one question. Where is the National Organization for Women? That's all I want to know. Where is now?
I don't know. Maybe it's not a woman thing, Chris.
No, maybe not.
Well, Tiger Woods says he's excited to kick off his 2011 PGA Tour season and that his mind is pretty much clear considering everything that happened last year.
I took a little bit of time off after Chevron and... started getting after it after a couple of weeks off, and feel pleased. I'm looking forward to getting out there and playing and basically feeling the heat again and seeing where I need to make improvements. I've obviously was consumed by other things last year and had to deal with that, and life goes on, life moves forward, and that's what's exciting about this year is that... having the proper perspective on things, and my kids are doing great, and that's my number one priority. And golf falls somewhere down the list after that. In order to play this game at a high level, it helps to have a clear mind.
Well, let's hope Tiger Woods gets things back on track. Tomorrow on America's Radio News, we're keeping track of what's happening with the birthright citizenship debate in Arizona.
And we'll monitor the uprising in U.S. ally Egypt.
For Lori London, I'm Chris Salcedo. This has been America's Radio News. We'll see you tomorrow for a Friday.